serve one. So is that good? Yes? And so we thank God for them. Our nursery is occupied today by great servants of the Lord that love your kids. Our toddler room, again, we're blessed today. We have so many good people, so let's give them a big hand. Come on. Yeah, thank God for the people of the Lord. And just a special shout out to Paul Marks. And Mr. Paul Marks has come to help us a little. How many of you know the sound is awesome, right, everybody? Yeah, it's excellent. And thank God for Paul. He's come as one of our guests today. And thank God for Roger. Roger knows everybody. Amen. So he brought Paul in and he helped us here. And I thank God for it. There is a difference. So thank God for that today. Do you have your message notes? You'll need them for the journey inside as a way you can take notes and enjoy. If you need them, raise your hand high. We're ready to go. 100%. We have a precious lady here. She hands them out. How did you not get one? Anybody else? Over here, anybody? Amen. She took care of everybody but herself. Is that okay? Yeah. So bless Sister Gloria Martinez, and thank God for it. A couple of slides on the big board. Welcome to Living Faith Church. We're faith that you can see as we gather, as we grow, and as we go. And you're in the house of God, and we're thankful that your miracle can happen today. We believe that God is here and anything is possible today. Let's welcome our Facebook Live audience, amen, or internet right now. Come on, welcome them, make them feel good. What a deal. You can watch TV, you can watch the service on the internet. Isn't that good, yeah? Without that coffee can be there. That's a pretty good deal, man. So welcome you guys. I need to get some of that on me, amen. That's good. Connection Luncheon is today. Immediately after our second service, we have a Connection Luncheon. If you've been kicking the tires, wondering about Living Faith Church, and you've been exploring the possibilities, this is your day that you can join and be part. We tell you about our history, how we really didn't start in our home. We started in the 1920s by a great lady by the name of Amy Simple McPherson, and her heritage and legacy still is in our line and our thumbprints, and it's in our DNA, and we thank God for that. You need to be part of that. We lead that. You'll meet some of our elders also, so we're thanking God for that. Also, a good meal, so that's good. Make sure that you see some of our elders here. Raise your hand high, right here, the Don Corleone guy, and then over here on this side, amen. Vito, his sidekick's over here, amen. And so we can tell you all about that, or you can come to see me, and we'll help you with that. Another thing that we want you to be mindful of is, next slide, right, is a new series will kick off next Sunday, and it's called, somebody say, Excuse My Sin. You kind of didn't say that with conviction, so you need to be here. Make sure. God's really, this is more of a shepherding series. God dealt with me about things that we don't, and he speaks to me first because I need to take care of my stuff so I can help other people. And there are things that we kind of excuse ourselves or like necessary sins. My anger. I get away with that because I get angry, and that's like my little deal. Or gossip's another one, lying. We'll cover a few of them that are excusable sins. So if you don't show up next week, I know that you're running from me. Is that okay? I'm going to come after you, amen. So make sure that you're here, and it'll go through our summer, and we'll finish the summer strong, and you need to be part of it. And finally, I think our last one is this. One more thing, yeah. Lunch Together is at the end of the month. Make sure that you see Alex and Lisa Copeland. They're right there in about the third row, and Lisa will give you information. But you want to make sure that you bring a side dish and get ready for some fun and fellowship, and we'll enjoy that together. Is that cool, yeah? Those are always great things, and thank God, amen, you'll be part of that. All right, I've enjoyed the series of Elijah so much, and we're going to conclude it today. Because I knew about Elijah, but I didn't know all the stuff that made this man who he was and how he came about. I'd heard about him, but aren't you glad we did a sermon series called Elijah? You can go back and into our webpage and look at the sermon series, and we're going to kick off with our opening scripture, so put that up there if you could. And we can move ahead and have just some knowledge about a man that had faults just like us, but God used greatly. And so James chapter 5, verse 16 on the big screen, not in your handout, but you can read it on the big board with me. Here we go on three. One, two, three, go. The prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful and to be reckoned with. Elijah, for instance, was human just like us. Prayed hard it wouldn't rain, and it didn't. Not one drop. And then he prayed that it would rain, and it showers came and everything started. Yeah, isn't that amazing? I look at this and I think about this guy, according to the Bible, had all the weaknesses, all the frailties, all the things that I have in my life, he experienced. And so could God give me a picture of somebody that wasn't a Superman and go through life, but still have a prayer life that could shut down heaven and then open it up again? It's pretty powerful. Isn't that pretty amazing? And it shows that just like you and I go through valleys and mountaintop experiences, just like he did, I'll go through valleys and mountaintop experiences that are everything's great up here, but I have to live sometimes in the valley and God is still there with me. And so with tremendous heart I have towards you, and dedicate a sermon towards every heart in this room that needs to have some hope, that's hopeless right now, that might have some desperation in their life, God is arriving on the scene just for you with some good news. Amen. And I'm so grateful for the word of God today. You're a triune being. One guy in the first service said, try what? Triune being, because you're made up of three parts. There's a body, there's a soul, and there's a spirit. The only thing that lasts forever is really your spirit. But the body is this sort of thing that you would recognize that your body, the Bible speaks of that it's profitable to exercise a little bit. That means you should stay in good health. You should be able to tie your shoe without getting winded, right, everybody? I know a couple of people, not to joke with you, that I've known through the years, that great preachers, but they couldn't live to bring the message that they had because their health was so bad. And if so, one of those three is out of whack, you're not going to be able to have the gift of God that you need to have. Do you understand that? I've known people that are so emotional that they can't have a relationship, because the baggage that they carry, they bring it into that soul realm, and they can't have relationship with people, and it affects them. And so their spiritual life, which will live forever, is affected, and they can't have a proper spiritual life. Do you understand that today? In relationships or whatever it might be. So we need all three. We need all three to be healthy, or that we'll short circuit. Again, we need to invest into our spirit more than we do our body or soul, but you need an investment in all three of them today. And so, like one of the greatest men that ever lived in the Bible, Elijah, on a mountaintop experience, Mount Carmel, prays down fire onto an altar and then prays that it would rain, and the rain doesn't stop and it's like a flood. He goes into this valley and he becomes very depressed because of what's about to happen. And I saw in Kings 19:1. You can look at it in your Bible on the big screen. It's there. Turn to it or flip it on the screen. It's quicker to do that with me. It says, now Ahab, again, that guy was the most evil guy that ever lived. The worst king, 19 kings, and he was the worst of the 19. What a reputation. Told Jezebel, that was his wife, which they say she was a witch. No, she was the most evil woman that ever lived, right? And that name still lives. Nobody ever names their baby Jezebel, baby girl, right? Not unless it's a rock band or something, right? Jezebel and Satan 7 or whatever it might be, right? They're a good band. No, they're not, right? And so told Jezebel everything that Elijah had done. He just killed all the prophets and how he had killed the prophets. That's a pretty amazing thing to kill 450 prophets with a sword. I mean, that's a Schwarzenegger type of movie. I mean, there was blood everywhere. Can you imagine that? That must have been some guy. Elijah was just not this whim of a guy. I mean, he was a powerful man that could do that. And so, again, Ahab in his later life, as he's reigning here, he becomes kind of like a wuss, where he kind of backs up and he says, no, Jezebel, you take the lead. It's just not for me. And he kind of de factos the throne to her, where it's not meant to be, and it messes everything up even more so. And there's an awful end to this couple if you keep reading it. You can do that when you do a devotional on their life today. And so verse 2 says this, and so Jezebel sent the messenger to Elijah and says this to him through another voice. Sometimes we hear those voices. May the gods, the little g's, deal with me and be ever so severely, if this time by tomorrow, that I do not make your life like one of these of them that he'd killed. And Elijah was what? And he, what did he do? Yeah. See, there are people that live with threats, and I live with threats, like things are going to happen to you, and threats aren't like something simple. Like when somebody threatens you, even though you act all bad on the outside, it can be like a punch to the gut. There are threats and things like even that affect us the rest of our lives like this. Like a threat is you're always going to be like your daddy. He was no good and you're going to be no good like him. And that's a threat that can follow you around. You're not going to be special enough or good enough or amount to anything. And again, those are all threats because they're not true. They're just threats. And we hear these voices and they affect our mind. And we begin to think on them. And that's what happened to this powerful man that killed all these prophets that were evil, these curanderos, that he killed them by a sword, but one moment he's on a mountaintop and the next moment he's running for his life. How could he be scared of one woman after he did what he did? Do you understand that? I don't get that. But that's what depression does. That's what despair does. And it gets into your mind and a party begins to happen and it takes you with it. Do you understand that, Tigay? So all of us in this room can be affected with depression, despondency, because we're not to see, you won't need, again, you don't need faith in heaven. You need faith right now. And that's why we need this lesson and we need God's word in our lives, because we need more faith in our lives today. Think back on how God had been so faithful to Elijah. He had been fed by the mouth by ravens that had come and fed him. He had stopped the rain from happening by his voice, and God had done that through his prayer. He had killed a bunch of prophets, like I just mentioned. He called down fire. God met him in times of economic collapse for a nation and treated him and blessed him. And so all this happened to this man, and isn't it incredible how you can fall? How can he be afraid right now? That's what depression can do. And so I want to kind of unpack this with you on how to get depressed in four easy steps. And so these are extra notes that you'll have. And the people that love Jesus at Living Faith and read their Bible and put Jesus, they're going to take extra notes. And if you don't see somebody taking extra notes, it's because they don't love Jesus. Is that okay with everybody? And you on the internet, you can take notes also, right? Because you love Jesus. In 1 Kings 19, 3 and 5 on the big screen, let's look at this. And when he came to Beersheba, this is Elijah into Judah, he left his servant there. Somebody say he left his servant there. And while he himself went a day's journey into the desert, he came underneath a broom tree. And a broom tree was just like a small tree, and it was good enough for one person. It wasn't like the mighty oaks that we have here in South Texas. And he sat under it and he prayed. At least he was praying, right? There's hope when you pray that he might die. And this is where he's honest before God. And thank God for a sincere, honest prayer. And if you have an honest prayer for God right now, you're truthful before God. Respect God, fear God, but you can be honest with him. This is what he said to God. I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. Then he laid there underneath that tree and fell asleep. Do you ever have a niño or a niña, a son or daughter, and they're little, but they've caused so much ruckus, they've been so chiflao, they've gotten so upset that they just need a nap? Go to sleep. Amen. Even my Anglo brothers here know what I'm talking about. Give me a good amen. And they go to sleep and sleep it off because they were so chiflao that's all that. And sometimes you just need to go to sleep after you pray, amen, after you've had the fuss. And there are three steps here. Number one is this, wear yourself out. You want to get depressed very easily, go ahead and wear yourself out. And it should show in a moment. They're doing all they can back there to help me, amen. I know they are. And so Elijah has this massive spiritual battle, and he's encountering things, and he's going from faith to believing God, to battling, to praying, calling fire down. And so he's exhausted at this very moment, and he's wore himself out. Geographically, he had just run a bunch of miles, 15, and outran a chariot. And now he walks again to another journey, so physically exhausted, and he can't move. Somebody say, wear yourself out. You can't do that. And so you wear yourself out, physically exhausted, and it's much like many of you in this room. you're trying to do everything, and you're not called to everything. You got to simplify things. You got to live life simply and do what God's called you to do. You're not called to live over there. You're called to live in the things that you'll answer to God for. Yeah. You scale back. It's okay. You're not the answer for everybody. I told the first service, it bears repeating, you're the soccer mom to everybody. And you're really supposed to be the mom to just a few, which is your children. You're responsible to them. I think your church should be included. If you're too wore out to go to church, then there's something wrong. Give me a good amen. Amen. With your worship, with your life today, amen. A full-time job. I never stop to rest. You never stop. It's really, there's symptomatic there that you need to put something aside today, amen. Carting the kids all over the world, everywhere, and you don't take time to rest. And it's going to affect you today. You're totally exhausted. You wore yourself out. That's a quick way to get depressed. The second thought is this. You shut people out. And Elijah abandoned his closest friend. The Bible tells us right there. And we just read that passage. And it says, you know what? He left him there and he went on his own. I'm not going to let you in other words. And you know what? I do that. Be real transparent. When I get despondent, discouraged, here's what I do. You're not going to understand. I stiff arm you. I need to be away and alone. Not a healthy way alone. More of self-pity comes upon me. More anxiety comes upon me because I'm isolating myself because I think you're not going to understand and you stiff. And I know I'm the only person like that in this room. So y'all pray with me, amen. Pray for the pastor today, amen. Don't build walls up. Let them down when you're despondent. Come to the place that feeds you and refreshes you today, amen. You don't want to get depressed. Don't wear yourself out. Don't shut people out. The third principle is this. You focus on the negative. And this hero, Elijah, says, I've had enough. I'm no better than our ancestors, he's saying. And so he exaggerates about the self-pity. And he exaggerates so much, the self-pity takes over. I don't even want to live anymore. I'm no better than my ancestors. I've had enough. And so it's kind of like saying, you know what? I'm never going to get that promotion. I'm never going to get past this situation and discouragement comes. I'm never going to break through and have all the things that I believe I should have in life and have a relationship and so forth. Oh, I ate that donut. Now I'm never going to fit into these jeans again. Just seeing if you're awake, amen. I'm trying to throw something out at you because the way you're looking at me. You focus on the negative. Discouragement comes in. Despair comes in. Hopelessness comes in and depression. Depression is very serious because some people have taken their life because they've been so hopeless. Do you understand that today? So we need to deal with it properly in what God has to tell us today. Finally, it's this. Number four is this. You forget God. And that's exactly how could a powerful man like Elijah forget God? He had supernatural protection upon God. He had birds that fed him. He had a drought that came in and a brook that gave him water. When I think about at times, I don't remember God's faithfulness in my life on how good God's been to me and how he's met me and how he's provided for me. I remember the faithfulness of God. But during times of discouragement and despondency and depression, when it's come upon my life, boy, I've forgotten about God and his faithfulness. God's done something in my life. God's been faithful in my life. And I'm just coming to remind you that God has always been faithful to everyone in this room today, even during the hardest times that are pressing. So after all this today of giving how you can really fall in, and these maybe aren't good notes to have, but you need to be aware of them, a warning signs. Let's look at the answer of God, right? Let's see what God had. If God had a pill and the doctor put you on a medicine right now, how to avoid depression, I would want that pill, right? No side effects, amen. It may cause you to grow hair in your ears. No, it's not going to have that sort of headaches in the night. No, you're going to have the no side effects. Wouldn't you want that sort of medication? No side effects. And so God's prescription is the answer for us today, amen. Elijah needed one more miracle as he had had them before. Your messed up life right now, your depressed life right now, all it is you know what? It's God's paintbrush that he's going to take because it's messed up. He's going to paint it into a masterpiece. Aren't you glad for that, saints, today? Amen. I think you need to give God seven seconds of praise in this house. Come on. Thank God. Amen. He's going to take care of me. He's going to take care of you. Thank you, Lord. If you didn't praise him, amen, stay the way you are. Give me a good amen. Yeah. Don't give up on God. He has the answer for your life today. It's coming just like it came to Elijah today. The first principle is this. God says to eat and rest. Thank you, Jesus. He told me to eat. Give me a good amen. I've been waiting for that Bible lesson, right, Pastor? I'm glad you preached today. Amen. I noticed the angel, when he comes to him at this moment that we're about to read, he doesn't come and say, shame, shame. You should have went to church more. You should have memorized the Bible. We'll get to that moment in a moment. You're such a loser. Quit acting like a baby. He didn't say, quote, five Bible verses. No, this is what he tells him. 1 Kings 19:5. You hadn't had any fun all day living faith. On three, let's read it together out loud. One, two, three, go. All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. And he looked around, and there is at his head was a cake bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down. Thank God again for pan de dulce. Thank God again. Man, thank God. Amen. He brought him food today. There are things in your life that will mess up your rhythm and your pace in life if you don't take time to eat and rest. There are things that fill you. There are things that drain you. And they're part of the battle of life. I wish things wouldn't drain me. I think I always want to be full. Who doesn't? But there are things that you go through in life that drain you. I love to preach. I love to read. I love spending time with my family. All those things fill my life. But there are things that drain me. And I'm not going to speak into those things because I might offend you right now. That's not you I'm talking about, amen? The Bible speaks that the most spiritual thing right now is that you wouldn't go to another meeting, not even read another Bible verse, but right now that you would rest. Honor the Sabbath. I think it's one of the most neglected commands that we get to in the Ten Commandments, because you're supposed to rest. And not really take time away, but to come to a place of rest that you're able to enjoy worship today. You're able to enjoy the Word and walk away, that you have a Sabbath and you're unplugging and you're plugging into God so He can fill you. Because life can drain you. Do you understand that today? But if we lived according to the commandments, the tender commandments of God, because He's tender enough to say, this is what I want for your life today. And if you go off doing all that and living frazzled, you're not going to be good to anybody. And I want you to, so would you give me at least a day that but you don't know what I'm going through, Pastor. I got to be a mom. I got to do this. The kids, the house doesn't have to be kept up today. But I need to make money. I need to go about. You can take a day off for a Sabbath today. Your life would be better if you obeyed the Sabbath. Do you understand that today? If you continue to live that way, no human is made that way. I'm just coming to you. And the angel of the Lord comes, and I'm glad for angels coming, and they're saying, just take a nap. Not right now in church. Boy, you all take that literally, amen. Take a nap when you get home, amen. And you got to do it, amen. Now, if the house stays dirty, because some guy just looked at me, come on, make sure you preach it right. If the house stays dirty for 6 months, that's unbiblical. Give me a good amen. But it can stay dirty for a week so you can get your act together, amen. If the lawn doesn't get mowed, amen, this week, amen, it's all right. Mow it next week. But rest in God. 1 Kings 19:7 on the screen, and then also in your hand up. It says this, now the angel of the Lord came back. Somebody say a second time. Thank God. God's relentless. God comes back. God keeps visiting and saying, come on. And He touches him again. It's not a shaking, it's a touch. Thank God for the touch of God's angel upon your life today. Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. And he got up and he ate and he drank, and he was strengthened by that food, and he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Hebron, the mountain of God. That was some meal. If you can travel for 40 days and 40 nights, brother, on one meal, that's supernatural, isn't it? That's God. I ate something at this family get-together about a year ago, and I told Irma, this is the best thing I've ever had in my mouth. And she went, what? And I said, man, it was just like this cake, man, and it was, I don't know what it was called. I never got the recipe from that lady, but it was the most, and when I tasted it, it was like heaven coming to earth. Give me a good amen. But that thing didn't hold me for 40 days and 40 nights. That had to be God, right? And so he goes off to the mountain of God, and most scholars believe this is where God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses. So he says, eat, rest, and then go to church. Go to the presence of God. Go where God is speaking. Go where the mountain of God is. So when you miss church, you miss a whole bunch. Do you understand that today? You miss a whole lot when you miss one church. And so I'm thinking about that you're here today not to preach to the choir, but to preach to you guys. How about people that are missing right now? Like your neighbors that don't go to a church. Like your family. And you know they're frazzled. You know that they're depressed. You know that they're despondent. Your fellow coworkers. And if you just give them the invite, you know what it's like? It's like that angel. The angel of the Lord came back to that coworker. The angel of the Lord came to that one in your neighborhood, you being that angel, and you invite somebody to the presence of God. It could be that prayer circle that you have in your home or in that block, but more so, what if you brought them into this house? And many of you have done that. You brought guests, and I want to encourage you to keep doing that because there's certain things that will only happen in the church. Do you understand that today? That won't happen on your block. Heaven is good in your home and all that, but there's a corporate anointing. There's something that happens when you come to the house of God that somebody can tell you, God bless you. I can watch TV and enjoy the messages of the pastors on television, and I love that. I love it just as much as you do. But that person can't embrace me through the television. On the internet screen, as much as I love to watch them and study with them, and I do that, I can't have them say hello to me like you can say hello to me. Do you understand that today? Amen. And so I need the house of God, and so do you. And so much so, how many of your neighbors, how many of your loved ones need this house today? I'm so glad you came today. Now you can go back and invite people and bring them back that are hurting, that are depressed, that need God. God says to eat and rest and bring them to the house of the Lord. Right, everybody? This is going to speak to you. Principle two. Some of you are going to get spoken to right now. God replaces our lies with his. It says in Kings chapter 19, verse 9, a little bit of a typo there, begins at verse 9. The word of the Lord came to him. Somebody say the word of the Lord. The word is being preached right now. And so God is coming to you via the word. I don't have to have a lightning bolt. I don't have to have somebody shouting at me, even though I'm raising my voice a little bit. But I'm passionate about it. The word of God is coming right now to you. And it says this, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here, Mario? What are you doing here, Bob, Sue, whatever your name might be right now? And it's not that God doesn't know what you're going through, but God wants to know really how you're feeling. God wants to have this thing called dialogue with you, that you're talking to him and that he's talking to you. It's a two-way conversation, right, everybody? God knows that you might be despondent, hopeless. God even knows if we're in depression right now. Of course he knows that. He made you. But he wants you to speak to him. He wants you to talk to him. He wants to replace that lie that you're saying with truth that he's going to affirm you with. So express yourself to God. Is that okay with everybody? And he replied, verse 10, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. Somebody say true. He had been. Anybody that calls down fire, that's somebody zealous, right? The Israelites have rejected your covenant. Somebody say true. True. Torn down your altars. Very true. They did that also. They put the prophets to death. True. All this is true. But then look at this. I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. He wasn't the only one left. If you go on in the context of the story, the Bible says there were 7,000 others that had not bowed, that had not gone the way of the rest of the nation. 7,000 is a lot of people, isn't it? And so you can say the lie that Elijah was facing in his head was this. Man, I'm the only one. Woe is me. And don't you feel like that when you've been discouraged? I know I have. Don't you feel like that when you've been despondent, when you've been hopeless on a situation? Man, I'm the only one that knows. You're not the only alcoholic. You're not the only substance abuser. You're not the only one that knows what it is to have adultery in your home, or be the only one rejected by parents. You're not the only one. You're not the only one that's faced some habits that are going to kill us. Do you understand that today? You're not the only one. And for you to believe that is a lie of the enemy. There are others that have faced the same struggle that you're going through, because we all live under a heaven that it's hard on everybody at times. Life is hard. And so you got to understand today, don't feed that. Many of us have allowed the enemy, the devil, to have a house party in our minds, in our heads. And the party is rocking, man. There's music, and it's waking up the police are about to be. It's that sort of ruckus in that house party in your head. And there's lies being spread, and they're in your mind, and you haven't even been invited, and they're using your AC, and they're drinking your Cokes. And they're victimizing your house, in your mind. You need to kick the devil out with the truth of God and say, no, devil, that doesn't belong in my mind. The Bible says I'm the beloved of God. We're always going to lack. No, my God says he will provide all my needs according to Christ Jesus today. The doctor gives you that bad report, which could be truthful. But there's always the truth of God. There's fact. Yeah, you have 30 days to live. No. The Bible says that by the stripes of Christ, I'm healed today. I shall not die. I shall live and declare the works of the Lord. So you come at him with truth and you live. And if you're believing all the lies, it runs rampant in your house party. And so what do you clean? I'm just trying to help you today. Amen. But look at me, everybody. During the deepest, darkest times of my life, man, I've had nothing but truth in my life that I've had to hold on to, because I've lived where there's been a lie in my head, and it's consumed me. It's brought me in the valley of darkness, and I've had to trench my way out. Well, you're a pastor, you're a preacher. No, Elijah was a much more bigger man than I, according to what his chronicles were in the Bible, right, everybody? You don't think it's going to come upon every one of us in this room? You better be ready to know the truth of God in your life today. Not fear factor, but faith factor today. Amen. Amen? Amen? And we live in victory because somebody needs your hallelujah, your shout today. Amen? Amen? God is telling us, hey, believe my truth right now today. Elijah begins to really dealing about the fire of God and how he's killed by the power of God all these prophets with the sword. It's a mighty God that's worked through him. So he's used to God working that way. And I think sometimes we program God, and he's telling you today, don't expect God to move in the same way that he's always done. He may come in a little bit of a different way, right, everybody? And so look at verse 11 with me. It says, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of God. Oh, here it comes. Elijah's probably saying, the fire is going to get all in me. I'm going to buck. I'm going to dance. Amen. I'm going to shout. Yeah. And that's okay if you do that. And for the Lord is about to pass by. Here he comes. And then a great powerful wind tore a mountain apart. Now, I've never seen that. I've seen an avalanche. How about you on TV? But look at this. It shattered the rocks before the Lord. But interesting. But the Lord was not there in the... And after the wind was an earthquake. And I've been part of an earthquake. But the Lord was not there in the earthquake also. Right, everybody? And after the earthquake came, there came a fire. But what happens there? Yeah, interesting, right? God, I thought you were going to move that way. I thought you only... If people only got this way... And God is saying, after the earthquake and the fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, after the fire came what? So maybe God does move in fire. He has. And wind. Earth, wind, and fire. What a good band, right? You ever notice those bands name themselves because of their heritage and legacy after the Bible? Even the Temptations. Give me a good amen. I'm going to tempt you here, up in here. Now I got to get you all back after you're probably thinking of my girl, right? We went through one of the deepest valleys in our church history. It's terrible. And I was at probably my lowest. You talk about depression. You talk about discouragement, trying to claw your way out. It was a turning point in my life because, honestly, it was one of those things like, man, I'll go sell shoes or I'll go work somewhere else because I didn't sign up for this. I didn't learn this in Bible college, and I never thought pastoring a church would bring this much internal pain. And it still affects me this day when I think about it, how it shook me and what it did to this church and how I had to hold it together, even fake it. And during that time, God didn't come in an earthquake to visit me. God didn't come in a fire or a mighty wind. You know how he came? You know how he came back to me? In a gentle, small, still voice, a whisper. I remember that man that knew, and he laid hands on me, and it wasn't like a mighty shouting prayer of deliverance. Do you know what he prayed? He prayed this. I still hear his words. He said, Lord, let Mario know, oh God, that it's going to be okay. That it's going to be okay, Lord. Oh, Lord, let him know it's going to be okay. And he held me, kind of rocked me a little bit because he was, and it was going to be okay. And it's okay now because I heard a gentle voice. At your lowest times, this is probably for everybody, God doesn't come with a shout. You know how he comes? He comes with a voice that's a whisper. Because you've gotten all frantic. And you've gotten all internalized. And you're shouting on the inside of your heart. And God, you just need to still yourself that you're listening to God. Aren't you thankful for the Holy Spirit today? Amen. That still comes along and comforts you and blesses you today. Amen. Thank God. God is speaking to you today. And if you listen to his voice, he'll come and say, I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to be enough. I'm going to be with you during this time today. The third principle and final one is this. God gives a divine assignment, and God gives us, somebody say, God gives me something to do. And he'll do that with you right now. He'll give you something to do. In 1 Kings 19:15, and the Lord said to him, go back. Somebody say, go back. Go back. Go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. And when you're there, anoint Hazael, the king of Aram, and also anoint Jehu, the king of Nisbi, king of Israel. Anoint Elijah, the son of Snapchat. No, the son of Snapit. Just trying to make sure you're awake. Amen. From Abel, Malaya, to succeed you as prophet. And he was telling him, go back to what you were supposed to do. There's a man in our church here. Look at me. There's a man in our church here, and he came back to what he was supposed to do. He was supposed to have the assignment that God had given. He laid it down for a couple of years, and he's back because he's doing what he's supposed to do. And you know, when you don't do the things that you're supposed to do, things go bad. You got it. You ought to preach up here, man. Things aren't going to... God has an assignment for each of you, and you need to go back and do what you're supposed to do so you have fulfillment in your life. So you have the gift of God. So you're full of what God has for you. You're not drained. Your marriage will go better. You single people in this room, you need to go back to what you were supposed to do because you've backslid enough. Now front slide. Right, everybody? You're doing the wrong thing. Go back to what you're supposed to do. Well, I'm not a prophet. So prophets are supposed to go back to what you do. I'm a mom. Well, go back to being a mom. That simple thing of being a mom to your children will bless you. You're a man of God here. Go back and do what you're supposed to do. You have the gift of serving. Go back to serve. Serve somewhere. You have the gift of giving. Go back and be a giver. Go back to what you're supposed to do. Oh, Pastor, you must need help at the church. No, we're doing okay without you. We really are. You know why I'm telling you this? So you can get better. Yeah. And we all get better when you get better. Right, everybody? Amen. What did Elijah fear the most? He feared that he would die by the hand of Jezebel. He ran. He ran like a scaredy cat. He ran and he ran fast and he ran out of there. Not going to get me. And notice, I notice at the end of Elijah's life, this has only happened to two people in the Old Testament. They've never died. Two people in the Old Testament, Enoch was one and Elijah was the other one. They never died. Elijah's told, the final verse, he said, you're going to have a successor now, Elisha. He's going to be a son of the Lord to you. He says, you mean one day I'm not going to be here, Lord? I used to be scared of that. I was going to die. I was going to die by the hand of Jezebel. And Elijah has this fatherly role now where he goes back and he raises up another prophet of Israel to come along. And Elijah, the son, said this, I want a double portion. I want your portion, but I want a double portion now. Leave me better than you. And that's what we should do, amen, as we serve people, as we disciple people, as we give our hearts away, that they're better than us. Our sons should be better than us, amen? Your daughter should be better than you today, right, everybody? Amen. And so the only two people recorded in Scripture never die. Here it goes, Elijah. And it's on the big screen because there wasn't enough room. And the band, you guys can come up here and help me as we close today. We bring the lights down. In 2 Kings 2:11, as they were walking along, talking together, are y'all with me today? Yeah. Suddenly, a chariot of fire and horses appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up into a whirlwind of into heaven. And Elijah saw this and he cried out. Elijah, the son, said, my father, my father. And it was a heartbreaking moment of separation there in the chariot and the horsemen of Israel. And Elijah, the son, saw him no more. The reality here, the greatest thing that Elijah was fearing, I'm going to die by the hand of Jezebel. She's going to kill me. And it got into his thought process. It never happened. There's been many a times that in our lives, as a people of faith in this room, living faith, that you've gotten so discouraged, that you've gotten so hopeless, and your reality never happens. That thing that kept you up at night, that depressed you, it never came to be. Can I hear a good amen? Amen. Never happened. And you worried all that, and you spent all that time in depression, and it never came about because God was faithful. And God provided for you. And God loves you, right, everybody? Yeah. Now, I want to be honest. That thing that you fear, it could be a report, it could be of a relationship, it could be something that's not going to work out here on heaven, on earth. But I can guarantee you this, because you're God's child, God's going to be faithful. God's going to be with you. If it doesn't work out on this earth, and that thing does happen, that greatest fear, it turns into faith because God is with you, and you have God today. God will never leave you or forsake you. He will be with you, right, everybody? Yeah. There's a story about a dad and a son, and they go to the zoo, and they visit the zoo, and they go visit all the exhibits, and they get to the ferocious lion and the cage that the lion's in, and they go, Dad, there's a lion, and we've seen him on TV, and the lion's in the cage, and the lion growls so loud it shakes the cage, and the little boy is afraid and he runs off. The son runs off and the father, son, come back, son, come back, come back. And he goes and gets his son. And he says, no, daddy, I won't go back there. That lion's growling and roaring like a lion. He goes, no, come back. And he brings him back to the cage. He says, you're staring at the lion's mouth and teeth, but I'm staring at the cage. He's in the cage right now. He's not going to get out. And you came to Living Faith today. You need to be reminded today, and those on the internet, you need to be reminded today, the enemy is in the cage. Don't be afraid of the enemy. He may roar, he may growl, but he's in the cage. You're a child of God today. You'll hear the roar, but it has no teeth today. Don't let him gum you to death either, right, everybody? Yeah, because he has no teeth today. Amen. You're in this room today. And I'm doing something different today. You're standing to your feet right now in the presence of God, and God is here. If there's anything in your life right now that's hopeless, that's desperate, that's depressed right now, it's going to take an act of humbleness on your part. It's okay. God meets you. See, when Elijah was honest, that's when God met him. He was honest to God. You may bring your depression. Bring the depression to the mountain of God. You won't leave the same. But bring it. Do you understand that today? Come to the altar right now. Get God in your life. I'll pray a prayer of faith over your life, and I'll believe God. There's a hopeless situation, a place that only God can meet you at. There's a place of discouragement right now. There's a place of depression. Those watching on the internet right now, you're praying with me also right now. You can come and build an altar right where you're at today. I'm believing God for your miracle. The altar is going to be open as the song rises up. Amen. Come to the altar and God will meet you here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. As people come, they meet you right now. Thank you, Lord.